Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of Sun Pharma. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Abhishek Sharma, Vice President, Head Investor Relations and Strategic Projects. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and a warm welcome to our first quarter FY24 earnings call. I'm Abhishek from Sun Pharma Investor Relations team. We hope you have received the Q1 financials and the press release that was sent out earlier in the day. These are also available on our website. We have with us Mr. Dilip Shanghvi, Managing Director, Mr. C.S. Muralidharan, CFO, Mr. Abhay Gandhi, CEO, North America, and Mr. Kirti Ganorkar, CEO, India Business. Today, the team will provide an update on financial performance and business highlights for the quarter and respond to any questions that you may have. We will refer to the consolidated financials for management comments. The call recording and call transcript will also be put on our website shortly. As a part of the press release, we have added a section on status of specialty projects. In the future, we will be adding more information to this section. The discussion today might include certain forward-looking statements, and these must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that our business faces. You are requested to ask two questions in the initial round. If you have more questions, you are requested to rejoin the queue. I also request all of you to kindly send in your questions that may remain unanswered today. I will now hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Muralidharan.
Welcome and thank you for joining us for this earnings call after the announcement of financial results for the first quarter FY24. Our Q1 financials are already with you. Q1 FY24 sales were at rupees 117,852 million, a growth of 10.7% over the same period last quarter. Material cost stands at 23.4% of sales, lower year-on-year on account of higher specialty products and better product mix. Stock cost stands at 20.4% of sales, higher than Q1 FY23 on account of annual merit increases and consolidation of Concert. Other expenses were at 29.3% of sales, higher year-on-year on account of increase in selling and distribution expenses and consolidation of Concert business. Forex gain for the year was rupees 20 million compared to a gain of about rupees 1,457 million in Q1 FY23. EBITDA for Q1, including other operating revenues, was at rupees 33,080 million, up by 14.7% over Q1 last year, with EBITDA margins at 27.8%. Adjusted net profit, excluding the exceptional items for Q1 FY24, was rupees 23,454 million, up 13.8% over Q1 last year. Reported net profit for Q1 FY24 was rupees 20,225 million compared to net profit of rupees 20,609 million for Q1 last year. Exceptional items include the charge of rupees 1,492 million towards impairment of an asset acquired, namely AS012, which was in clinical trials for vitiligo. As of 30th June 2023, net cash was $1.7 billion at consolidated level and about $436 million at ex-Taro level. Gross debt decreased from the level of $754 million as of 31st March 2023 to $473 million on 30th June 2023, thereby $275 million repaid during the current quarter. Let us look at the key movements versus Q4 FY23. Our consolidated gross sales were higher by 9.9% quarter-on-quarter at rupees 117,852 million. Besides the seasonality usually seen between Q1 and Q4, a prominent factor was higher sales of lenalidomide quarter-on-quarter. However, we expect lenalidomide sales will remain episodic in future. Material cost stands at 23.4% of sales, higher quarter on quarter on account of expected normalization that we had flagged off in our Q4 FY23 earnings call. Staff cost at 20.4% of sales were higher in absolute terms versus Q4 FY23 due to annual merit increase and first full quarter of consolidation. Other expenses were at 29.3% of sales, were lower than Q4 FY23 due to sales and distribution and R&D. EBITDA margin for Q1 was at 27.8% compared to 25.6% for Q4 FY23. Reported net profit for Q1 stands at ₹20,225 million. Moving on to Taro's performance, Taro posted Q1 FY24 revenues of $158.9 million, higher by 1.4% over Q1 FY23, a net profit of $10 million. One-time expenses include those related to planned relocation of alchemy operations. Excluding the impact of one-time in Q1 FY24, net profit was $14.9 million. I now hand over the call to Mr. K.C. Ganorkar, who will share the performance of our India business.
Thank you, Murali. I shall take you through the performance of our India business. For Q1, the sales of formulation in India were at ₹35,604 million, recording a 5.1% growth over Q1 FY23. India formulation sales accounted for 30% of total consolidated sales for the quarter. We have shared Sequa was launched from our global specialty portfolio in our home market of India. Initial response has been good and we hope that it will be an important addition to moderate to severe dry eye treatment here. Sun Pharma is ranked number one and holds 8.33% market share in the over 1860 billion Indian pharmaceutical market as per AIOCD AWACS MAT June 2023 report. Corresponding market share for the previous period was 8.5%. As per SMSRC MAT June 2023 report, we are number one ranked company. Sun Pharma is also ranked number one by prescription with 12 different doctor categories. For Q1 FY24, the company launched 10 new products in India. I will now hand over the call to Abhay.
Thank you, Kirti. I will update on the performance highlights of our U.S. businesses. For Q1, our overall sales in the U.S. grew by about 12% over Q1 last year to $471 million. U.S. accounted for over 33% of consolidated sales for the quarter. U.S. specialty business has continued to do well and has grown well over Q1 FY23. We did witness seasonality in Levulan sales, leading to a dip in revenues on a quarter-on-quarter basis. The underlying business, however, and the prescription trend for the specialty business remains strong. We remain excited about our specialty product portfolio in both near-term and the long-term. For Q1, we launched two generic products in the U.S. on an ex-Taro basis. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Shandu.
Thank you, Abhay, and good evening to all of you. I will provide an update on the performance highlights of our other businesses as well as give you an update on our R&D initiatives. Our branded formulation revenues in emerging markets were at $261 million for Q1, up by 6.5% over Q1 last year. The underlying growth in constant currency terms was about 14% year-on-year for Q1. Emerging markets accounted for 18% of total consolidated revenues for Q1. Amongst the larger markets in local currency terms, Romania and Brazil have done well. Formulation revenues in rest of the world, excluding US and emerging markets, were $195 million, up by 2.6% over last quarter. Rest of the world markets accounted for approximately 14% of consolidated Q4 revenues. We continue to invest in building a R&D pipeline for both the global generics and the specialty businesses. Consolidated investment towards R&D for Q1 FY24 stands at ₹6,796 million, 5.8% of sales, and this compares to 6.657 million, 6.2% of sales for Q4 FY23 and ₹4,608 million, 4.3% to sales for Q1 FY23. Moving on to update on global specialty with highlights for the quarter. In Q1 FY24, our global specialty sales were up by 21% to reach $232 million. Specialty R&D accounted for 35.8% of our total R&D spend for the quarter. In June, we presented data from two phase 1 studies of Sun's GLP-1 receptor agonist at ADA conference in San Diego. In one of the studies, GL0034 reduced body weight after a single dose in obese individual without diabetes. In other study, reduction in body weight of up to 10.7% was observed after treatment with relatively low dose of GL0034. This was 8 weeks duration. We are quite excited with these early results and plan to initiate phase 2 clinical trials to start shortly. Moving on to Ilumya's ongoing phase 3 studies in psoriatic arthritis, we've taken steps to accelerate the pace of the trial. This includes creating new enrollment at sites which have worked for us thus far, as well as activating more sites. We will share expected trial completion timelines once we start seeing good traction in enrollment. Further on specialty, in May 23, we entered into an exclusive agreement with Philogen for commercializing specialty product Nidlegy in Europe, Australia and New Zealand. Nidlegy is currently in phase 3 trials for skin cancers. When approved, it can be prescribed by the same doctors as Odomzo as a good follow-on product for patients that do not respond to current treatment. In June 23, we received approval from Health Canada for our acne product Winlevi. With this, I would like to leave the floor open for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks. So my question is on the domestic market. We have seen around 5% growth. I'm just thinking about this in the context of field force addition that we had done last year, plus some price increases which generally takes place. And on the other hand, you have, you know, the possible impact of NLEM and sitagliptin. So I'm just wondering, this number looks lower than the compared to the IPM growth. So if you can just explain the dynamics there and how should we think about growth going forward. And also, sir, we know we have seen companies getting into trade generics. There is aggressive competition from some of your peers, particularly in the chronic segment. So has the market dynamics, is the market dynamics changing in a meaningful way to impact growth? Thank you.
Sure. So I think the quarterly sales growth means it's becomes little difficult to comment on. But what I can say in last year Q1 2022-23, we had a sitagliptin product which was under patent, and the patent expired in July. So that time, after the patent expiry, we have made the product affordable, and there was a price reduction. That's why there was a loss in a value. But in volume terms, we are doing good. And there was another reason is impact of NLEM. So NLEM was also announced in the month of December and January. And the full impact has come in this quarter, where we see because of NLEM also the growth has been subdued in quarter one. But I'm very quite positive and hopeful that in coming quarters, we will see that we grow in line with market and try to see that we grow even better than the market.
Okay. And my second question is on so the specialty sales. You mentioned level on seasonality, but was it something significant this year? And if you can also, give any update on the Concert Pharma drug in terms of, filing or any other, any other discussion that you might have had with the US FDA on this product?
So if I see the underlying base business and the prescription trends of all our major products other than Revlon, I think we are on the right trajectory. Last year, Q4, there was also a finance factor which has to be considered, and that has had a small impact. But overall, I think we are on the right track. On the second part of the question, Dilipbhai, if you would like to respond.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, sure. We don't have an update at this point of time, and we will share as soon as we have this update with you. The idea is to file this product at the earliest, is what I think the focus is.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So on the R&D expense front, given these set of trials to start for the products you highlighted in the opening remarks, so the full year guidance remains as it is, as you had highlighted at the 4Q FY23 comment?
Yeah, I think if as on today, you should consider the full year guidance. If there is a need for us to make any change, we will update.
Okay. And sir, other expenses excluding R&D have been sort of bit volatile, the number varying from say 2600 crore in Q1 FY23 to going up to almost 3000 crore in 4Q FY23, and now we are back to close to 2770 crores. So, any particular line item which sort of deviates this other expenses?
So in our Q4 call, we already said that the sales and distribution previous call, that these costs have some catch-up and unlikely to escalate on the same pace going forward. There may be sales-related growth-related expenses and selling distance going forward.
Okay. And just lastly, on the base business ex Revlimid in the US generics, what kind of price erosion are we witnessing now?
I mean, you don't have to respond, no? So, I think ultimately the US business dynamics, all of you are aware. And we don't generally respond on specific product pricing or specific product sales.
Okay, sir. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening and thank you for the opportunity. My question is again on the US. So not product specific, but if we exclude Taro and specialty, you have seen meaningful pickup sequentially. So can you explain like what has led to it?
No, we couldn't fully catch the question. Can you repeat?
Yeah, my question is on your US business, excluding Taro and specialty sales. So if we exclude these two parts, you have seen good sequential pickup. So just wanted to understand what has led to sequential pickup for your base generic business, whether it's good demand in channel or like improved supplies from your plants where we had some setback earlier. So a bit more of clarity here will be helpful.
Yeah, Abhay, maybe you would like to respond.
Yeah, sure. Damayanti, I think Mr. Murli in his readout has mentioned this, that we have significant sales of lenalidomide in the quarter, and that may be episodic going ahead. So, in the first quarter, that was a significant contributor.
Okay. But some of your peers are talking about improved channel demand, etc. Are you seeing similar situations?
It's product specific. For certain products, you are right. There is a channel demand which is seen. But for certain products, I don't see. On an aggregate level, you know, I would not characterize it as a significant channel uptick in demand.
Okay. My second question is on your specialty business. So, Abhay, you mentioned you are on track for a prescription trajectory, etc. And except Libulin, others are going as per your expectation. So, can you bit comment on the pricing part also? Are we seeing any notable changes there or it's more steady?
So in the U.S. on the specialty side, I mean, the pricing generally increase that we take is very nominal. So therefore, I think there has been no significant impact on pricing in the growth of the business.
Okay. And my last question is, can you provide any update on your plan to acquire remaining stake in Taro, which we spoke last quarter?
So I think what we have shared with you in the past is that we've made a proposal to the Taro board, and Taro board, as a response to our proposal, has formed a special committee. They need to finalize the lawyers and bankers and all of that special committee, and then at some point the negotiation will begin. We have no further update beyond what we've shared.
Okay. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Abhay, my first question is on, you know, Mohali. I'm assuming we would have seen some impact from the Mohali, consent decree and temporary suspension. Has that fully normalized? And should we expect, you know, any market share loss that we have had due to this temporary suspension to probably at least regain a large part of it in the course of the year? How should we look at normalization of supply from Mohali?
So right now, the supplies from Mohali have not really started. Whether we'll be able to regain all the market share will depend upon the market dynamics and the number of competitors and the length of the contracts that the buyers have signed up at the point at which we enter the market. So the second part is very difficult to estimate. We will see when we get there.
And, you know, is the supply restarting dependent on, re-inspection? Is that what we are waiting for, or is it just remediation from your end which is delaying the starting of supplies?
Yeah, I think there is no need for a re-inspection at this. I mean, for, of course, for having the current restrictions cleared, we will need a re-inspection. But for restarting supply, there is no need for a re-inspection.
Understood, sir. And by when do you think both Mohali and Halol would be ready for re-inspection in your assessment?
I think once we inform the agency that we are ready with for a re-inspection, we will share that information with all of you.
Understood, sir. My second question is on Durexo. Given post the halt from the FDA on the 12 mg, you know, the 8 mg, have we slowed the pace of that also as we decide on, you know, what we're going to file, etc., or that's going, you know, as planned and there's no delay in you know, the OLE studies for the lower dose?
So broadly our understanding is that the partial clinical hold, which has been lifted now, was for 12 mg.
Yes.
So there is no slowdown in 8 mg dosing.
Okay. So that continues as planned.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Narayan Patra from Philip Capital India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for this opportunity, sir. And congrats for the good set of numbers. Hello?
Yeah, yeah, please.
My first question is on the specialty business and that to the specialty outside of US. During this quarter, we got the, we have announced this Chinese partner, CMS, has got the approval for Inumetri, the commercialization there. So, how bigger or how exciting development it is for us, and because in terms of the patient population there in the psoriatic listing, if I see, then it is similar to US. So can it be the largest market outside of US so far as Ilumya is concerned?
No, I think China can be an interesting market. Once we, I think, launch the product, we will get a better sense. We believe that CMS, because of its significant existing linkage with dermatologist, is quite well positioned to work for a good market share for the product.
Okay. And this is also a kind of a partner for other specialty products also for us in the US, in China, right, sir? And can this association be a kind of a relatively important and larger one so far as global specialty business outside the US is concerned?
I mean, we have licensed one or two generic products as well as CEQUA to them. So,
yeah.
And I think our view is that managing multiple relationships is far more difficult and challenging than to manage limited number of relationships. But at the same point of time, innovative products to be marketed, the company also needs to evaluate its ability to reach customers cost effectively. Incidentally, CMS has existing business presence in both ophthalmology as well as its dermatology, and that makes it easier for them to promote both these products.
Okay. The second question is on the again Ilumya, the progress of the Ilumya for the psoriatic arthritis indication. So whether the clinical and commercial development of this molecule will follow the similar order what Ilumya had seen for the other indication in terms of the market of approval. So I mean, even if the approval has to come, that will come in the US first, then followed by other countries. Is the kind of chronological development that we should anticipate for that?
Surya, you mean Duraxolitinib?
No,
Ilumya.
Okay. I think the plan is, of course, to file the product first in the US, but also since it's an additional indication in the other geographies, we should be able to get that filed in a relatively short time. And the idea would be to augment the indication in all the geographies that we are marketing the product.
Okay. So just an extended one from this question only. So let's say the R&D spend, if I see, excluding of the specialty, it is remaining or in the kind of a similar range and a higher number itself. So whereas the filing of ANDAs, if we see for US, that has to some extent got moderated. So how should we see that? Is it right to think that now our focus is diversifying our strength, R&D capability and all for developing products for not only US market, but all major markets, including India. And also leveraging the products of US could be the specialty products for other markets.
So I think my understanding, and I don't have exact response, but one of the reason why I think the filing numbers that you see is lower is also because of the ransomware attack that we had seen. So since we were unable to retrieve the data of many of the products, it impacted our filing capability. So, but as I think we are going back to normal, we should then be able to file those products.
Sure, sir. So just one single line of distinct question. Sir, for the special global specialty business outside of the US, whether it is a kind of a low double digit number in terms of share, can you give some sense? Because we are seeing multiple development outside of the US, either it is Canada for multiple products or various other, Europe, Japan, now Australia and New Zealand and all that. So have we seen a kind of a low double digit kind of a share for our global specialty business outside of US?
No, I think it's difficult for us to quantify overall value, but generally people say that typically for most of the companies, rest of the world, especially for biologics, would represent anywhere between 25% to 35% share of the global market. Now, in that, Japan is a major, Europe is a major market, and in Europe, we don't capture the full value of sale. We only capture the value of sale that we make to Almira in our numbers.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nithya from Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. One question on Taro, if you can help us understand the strategic intent behind consolidating the asset, as well as how you're thinking about bringing it back on the growth path.
I mean, what is the question? Is that why are we buying it now?
Why are you buying it? Why are you buying it now? And once you do consolidate, what will change in terms of the strategy for Taro? How can you bring it back on the growth path, which has been lacking for the last several quarters?
So my own assessment is that the dermatology business, which is focused on which is the primary focus for Taro, is a business under constant, increasing competition pressure. And as a standalone company, it will be very difficult for Taro as an independent company to continue to operate that business profitably. So that broadly is the reason why we felt that it's useful for us to consider integrating that with Sun Pharma.
While, so I understand that it then gets subsumed under a lot of other things you're probably doing in the US, but would there anything that you would change to try and inject some growth into the into that business?
No, I think there are, I mean, some of these issues that you're raising, I think is difficult for, because it will then be selective disclosure or disclosure on behalf of Taro. So I don't think I would, it's appropriate for me to respond at this point.
All right. Second question on your R&D strategy when you're thinking about specialty. If you look at the kind of assets you're working on, while the dermatology assets are obviously complementary to your existing portfolio, but osteoarthritis or a diabetes asset, these are again assets for which you will actually have to take it to a very different set of physicians, probably at least in the US. So how are you thinking about the long-term strategy when you're working on so many different therapeutic categories?
I think these are valid questions, and we are also questioning some of those best options for us, is that whether we are the best company to commercialize this asset or we should consider licensing. But osteoarthritis, I think once we get a psoriatic arthritis indication, there is a certain amount of overlap with the potential prescribers in some of the geographies. I think for diabetes or weight loss or even in NASH or any other indication where GLP-1 potentially can be used, is a generally a large field force requiring indication. So it's possibly closer to when we need to take a decision, we will need to get co-marketing partners for many of the geographies. But in emerging markets, India, and in other markets where we have significant share in prescription business, I think we are well positioned to leverage that product to become very successful.
Mr. Shanghvi, isn't your energy and R&D money better spent on more assets that are complementary to your existing portfolio? While I'm not denying that there is option value here.
I mean, if I look at our evolution as a company, I think generally we've found a way to enter markets using a successful good product and then gradually expand our businesses to different specialty. And that can and will continue to work for us in emerging markets in India. In large international markets, I think for acquisitions as well as for licensing products, we are looking at ophthalmology and dermatology as our focus, only for let's say, and for other products we want to look at what is the best option for us. I think we are also not ruling out future acquisitions which can also help us in ability to market this product more effectively when they are closer to market.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bino Paltiparampil from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. Just questions. First to Abhay. Abhay, you had some mention about lenalidomide sales in your opening comments. But I couldn't quite understand. Did you mean the June quarter lenalidomide sales is higher than March quarter or lower than March quarter?
I mean, exact numbers as a comparator, we generally will not disclose. But for the quarter that we are talking about, it's a significant contributor.
Okay. So you don't want to say which quarter was bigger? Hello?
Yeah, that's the answer which I've
Yeah,
used.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Second, on this forex loss, one-off forex loss that you booked in Nigeria, what is that? What nature is that? Is it a write-off of inventory or receivables or something? What exactly would that be?
So this you are talking about the one-time write-off.
Correct.
Yeah, Murli maybe.
Of the yeah. See in the readout we have mentioned that we have provided for about 149 crores towards an acquired intangible asset which was under development, which is A012 for clinical trials for vitiligo.
No, I am not asking about that. There is a forex loss, one-off forex loss, including in your one-off item, there is a forex loss of Nigeria.
So the forex loss in the month of June, the Nigerian Central Bank had removed the trading restrictions on its official market, which eventually led to the Nigerian currency dropping significantly record low to US dollar, and this provision exceptional item is towards that.
Yeah, so is that on the inventory or receivables or some assets? That is my question.
It's on a mark-to-market payable.
Mark-to-market payable. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Damesha from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So the first one on the specialty R&D. So sequentially, if I look at almost $25 million, specialty R&D has gone up to around $30 million. And in quarter three, it was somewhere around $21 million. So would you say the primary driver for this, let's say, jump from quarter three level to the current level would be Concert Pharma?
So for our recommendation would be that probably looking at a quarterly R&D numbers may not be appropriate. However, Mr. Shangvi already mentioned that we are working towards the various clinical trials of various candidates what we have, and we are on track to achieve the R&D guidance for the year.
But would you say that Concert has already been factored in? Almost fully because that trial is ongoing?
Yes. Concert is part of our R&D guidance.
So I'm saying Concert is fully factored in this quarter?
Yes.
Because that trial is ongoing. Okay, perfect. Second one for Mr. Gandhi on the Ilumya, since we have Humira biosimilars been launching over the last one quarter, have we seen any impact, in terms of acquiring new patient for Ilumya, or would you say the new patient growth trajectory largely remains intact for us?
So we haven't seen any negative impact because of the entry of the Humira biosimilars.
Even on the new patient acquisition?
No, we haven't.
And let's see, when we conduct this trial of psoriatic arthritis for Ilumya, and if we get an approval, how does the exclusivity period work for the new indication for biologics?
So my understanding broadly is that there are product patent, which basically means compound patent, then there are method of use patent, and then there are indication patents. So, many of the products which I see, like Humira, have multiple indications. So, and depending on the geography, people have to do both multiple indication studies as well as interchangeability studies, because these are all chronic treatment products.
So my question was more related to from the US FDA data exclusivity, which generally for biologics is around 12 years, right? But if we get the same product approved for another indication, do we get another data exclusivity for that indication, which is separate 12 years, or how does it kind of work?
No, honestly, I don't think I have looked at my. I think our focus would be. I think we would have some kind of patent on indication, and that basically means that people will not get this indication on their label.
Sure. And the last one on the generic side, since we have this Halol plant trouble from last 7-8 years now, would we have not de-risk our key products by doing a multi-location filing or multi-plant filing for the bigger products?
I think at a concept level it works. At operational level, especially when you have specialized product requiring very different kind of manufacturing infrastructure, it's very difficult to execute.
Okay, and then does US FDA also not look this kind of changes very kindly because it kind of increases administrative burden on them to kind of go and inspect two plants versus one plant for the same product?
No, I think if you file from a new product, it's filed from new product. If it's an additional plant, then there is a regulatory process. They can't be happy or unhappy about what is their regulatory process. Many multinational companies have same product manufactured in multiple facilities. So they inspect and approve all of those.
Perfect. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Harsh Bhatia from Bandhan Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Hope I'm audible. Good evening. Just one quick question, broader aspect. There's a lot of news flow in terms of the number of people being kicked off, or rather losing their Medicaid coverage. So I think so the last figure that I could see was 4.5 million, but some sources indicate that that could go up till 15.
I'm sorry, you're very, very soft spoken. Can you just amp it up a bit, please?
Is this better?
Yeah, better. Thank you.
Yeah, my question was very broader in nature, to the sense that there's a lot of news flow in terms of the number of people losing their Medicaid coverage in the U.S. So the last figure that I could see was 4 million people, and there were some indications that it could go up to 15 million people. So maybe not in particular with regards to Sun Pharma as a whole, but any broader thought or anything that we should read into it from the industry perspective for the U.S. market?
So it's a very broad and question that you wish to learn. So what I would suggest is that I will brief Abhishek separately and he can share the details with you. I understand where you are coming from, but maybe a better way would be that I brief Abhishek and he in turn can speak to you and give you the details.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks for the follow-up. So just one clarification. Actually, your comment means that from Mohali, there was no sale this quarter. And it was a bit of a surprise. I think in the last call, I got an impression that, you know, things should start flowing from Mohali. So if you can just, give us an update there. And is it true? Is it like there's zero sales from Mohali, including generic Pentasa this quarter?
I mean, I didn't say there was zero sales from Mohali. I said supplies from Mohali have not resumed. But we had some inventory, and therefore there would be some residual sales that happened.
Okay, okay. But it would be sort of materially lower versus, say, versus last quarter.
That would be correct.
Okay, great. Mr. Shanghvi, just, a few questions for you at a, I remember like maybe a couple of years back you mentioned about biosimilars and Sun Pharma's, intent to build capability on that sphere. We haven't heard any sort of an update on that. So what are your thoughts now given, the market has evolved to an extent? So how is Sun thinking about building capability in that area?
So even I think at that time I was very tentative because that time also my concern was that product investment on individual product is very large and not very different in some cases to what you would require to invest for developing a specialty product. So, and I remain equally tentative now, which means that we are not kind of all in biologics, unlike many companies who have significant investment and exposure to that business.
Understood. And Mr. Shanghvi, the other question, again for the India market, a lot of your peers have started, doing trade generics. Sun Pharma has a very wide portfolio of products. Do you think strategically it makes sense to sort of take these products to, let's say, tier two, tier three on smaller cities and towns through the trade generic route? Any thoughts from your side on this?
Kirti, maybe you would like to respond.
We remain focused on generating prescription through a super speciality and specialties and physicians. That's the core part of our business. And I think there is a great opportunity in that business even to grow from where we are today. So that remains our core focus, I think.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. We take the next question from the line of Cinderella Carvalho from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. US generic business, so would you be able to help us understand if these shortages, supply challenges, highest drug shortages in the last decade, so where are these opportunities? Are we seeing these opportunities across the product baskets, or they are largely concentrated on the injectable side, and where we can participate?
No, I don't know, Abhay, whether you understood the question, but I couldn't fully understand.
No, I did not. I was trying to... Yeah, I could not understand the question. Ma'am, can you rephrase, please?
So, I was asking, we are hearing highest number of drug shortages in the U.S. market on the generic side and largely concentrated on the injectable side. So, are we also experiencing some opportunities from our product basket wise? And if we are able to participate, then how long do you see any visibility on these kind of opportunities or one-time buys that you are seeing in the market right now, specifically on the U.S. generic side here?
Right. Thank you. Now I understand. Thank you. I think whenever the buyers or from marketing, we get to know about a certain product being short supply, we do an overlap analysis and see whether it's something for an opportunity. As of now, for our range of products, I haven't seen any big opportunities which can swing the pendulum, so to say.
But also, Abhay, I think we don't have a very large portfolio of injectable products.
We don't. And yeah.
Right. And specifically on Winlevi, sir, we are seeing some uprise in the volume side. Any commentary on that? Are there any strategy change that we are working on which is helping us?
Sorry, can you again repeat? We have seen a what? We have seen a what Winlevi, did you say?
In case of Winlevi, volumes we are seeing some uptake. So would you like to comment if any specific strategy helping us around here or any trends which are working in our favor?
So I think if you look at the overall context of Winlevi, and it's important that we understand this. If I look at the branded basket of products, that is where we essentially compete. You can't compete with the generics on price. You know, out of the almost 10 branded products in acne, we have a 26% share of market. And in terms of, let's say, number of customers who have used the product, you know, 91% of acne prescribing doctors have given a trial.
For now ended.
Sorry? I heard something.
No, continue, sir. I'm listening to you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think this indicates to us that the product is accepted by the doctors. And we, of course, continually try to see that we improve the access. And one of the reasons for the uptake that you saw is because of one important payer agreeing to cover the product a couple of quarters ago. So that has been one of the major reasons. And it's an ongoing process. We continue to work on improving the access every single day, every single quarter. And we hope that the momentum sustains.
Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ishita Jain from Ashika Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. My first question is maybe a little into the future, but what is our assessment on capturing the market for deuruxolitinib, given that there is another JAK inhibitor that got approved recently and is a much more convenient dosage of once daily, whereas our product is twice daily?
Abhay, you will respond?
Yeah, I can. I mean, when we see the data for our product, we feel we have a very competitive product. And for the indication that we are talking about, which is alopecia areata, I mean, the patient involvement is very high. So to get better results, I think an OD versus a BD dose will not really change the uptake, is what we feel.
Got it. Thank you. And my second question is, so products like Zelpros are currently under supply shortage in the U.S. as we're in the process of shifting them from Halol to a regulatory compliant unit. Can you provide an update on that?
It will take us some time to come back to market with the product. We will eventually, and work is being done towards that end.
Got it. And in terms of Sezaby, it's been half a year since launch. If you can give some idea on how the uptake been. Last question.
And I think in one of the earlier calls I said this, I mean, it is not a single source of purchase. We have to go hospital formulary by formulary, involving different stakeholders, right from the purchase committee to the technical committee and so on. So it's a gradual uptick that we see, not an immediate big spurt.
Got it. I mean, I guess that would probably be the way to go since it is probably first in line treatment or first product ever. Is that correct? In our indication.
No, sorry, I didn't get that question.
So it is the first you're product.
You're still talking about Sezaby, right?
Yes, I am.
So doctors will always have two options here. They will either use Pinobarbital or product Sezaby maybe, or they could use Nevitalizumab. So doctors have two options, and depending on the doctor, they will have a different line of considering what is essentially first line. But through years of experience, I mean, phenobarbital as a molecule clearly has a very good acceptance.
Great, thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, that was the last question for the evening. I would now like to hand the conference back to Dr. Abhishek Sharma for closing comments.
Thanks everyone for dialing in. For any remainder questions that you may have which are unanswered, you can reach out to the IR team. Thank you and have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Sun Pharma, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.